Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on. But remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Buck Brief. Our friend Ryan Gerdusky is with us. And if you're watching on YouTube, he's dressed like a lumberjack for us today. Mr. Gerdusky, good to see you. His Substack is the National Populist Newsletter. It's an excellent newsletter. Some of us maybe even pilfer it for show prep on Sundays when it comes out, or over the weekend. When does it come out?
Oh, do you?
Oh, Sunday, but I say I got this from Ryan's Substack, the National Populist Newsletter. So I cite. I don't just like pillage it without any say so. Yeah, no. And all, you know, I'll even give Ann credit sometimes for a random quote of hers. You know, but she never says anything to me about it.
Well, I always source my material. I don't just write nonsense. Like, I will sign who my sources are for every article I link to in the newsletter. This newsletter this week, about the vice presidential election, I couldn't name my sources, but I had quite a few of them.
All right. So let's dive into this, because everyone's going to be really curious about this. Tell me who's going to be, and I'm realizing also on the YouTube, I really need a haircut. Like, this is getting out of control. Tell me. So everyone in the comments, they can stop with the, like, get a haircut. You're here. It's like, all right, I'm a human being. I got a lot of things going on. I got a little puppy that's biting my ankles all the time. I got to feed it. I forget to get my haircut. I maybe took a nap right before this podcast, so I'm waking up still. Ryan, help me out here. Who's going to be the vice president for Donald Trump?
So there's a lot of conversations going on in Mar-a-Lago and in Trump world about this. And this is the general opinion. Trump has said multiple times that he doesn't think a vice president does anything or adds value to a ticket. His opinion is that no one's voting for the vice president. They're voting for the president. So I should pick who I like, not who is strategically smart for me. And there is some merit to that. Trump is not entirely wrong. People don't vote for the vice president, they vote for the president. So Trump has been reflecting a lot on Mike Pence and his relationship with Pence. He didn't dislike Pence, and Pence definitely brought some credibility, maybe evangelicals, to the ticket. I don't think they would not have voted him without Pence, but he definitely brought some credibility. Trump doesn't need credibility from those people anymore. And he was never best friends with Mike Pence. He didn't dislike him, but they did not vibe in any capacity. So, and he used to make fun of how Pence would call his wife Karen Pence mother, and he would make fun of that. He just didn't, he was never comfortable with him as a man.
Hold on. Pence called his own wife mother?
Oh, Pence does. Pence calls Karen Pence mother. Yes.
Why?
And Trump used to say, oh, mother's not going to like this. Yeah. He calls
Karen Pence mother. Why not like wife? Why would he call her mother?
I don't know. He calls her mother. It's very well known. He calls her wife.
Okay. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, the guy apparently has a very solid marriage. I'm not trying to cast aspersions or anything. He seems like a nice guy. That just strikes me as a little odd. That's all. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Exactly. It strikes Trump as very odd, too. And a lot of things that Mike Pence did struck Trump as a little odd. So
one thing Trump, even Trump haters have to. Trump is pretty funny, actually. He's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Trump is very funny. So, yeah. So he sat there and was like, you know, whatever. You say, well, mother's not going to like this, Trump would say about Pence when he was in the room. Anyway, so whatever the case is, he really wants somebody who he personally enjoys being around. He wants somebody who he considers a comrade and friend and someone who is very, very loyal. Trump probably correctly believes that even if he's the president again, Democrats are going to try to put him in jail for the rest of his earthly life, no matter what happens. So he wants somebody who, if they become the president, sorry, I hit my camera. If they become the president after he's the president, they will pardon him almost for anything because Democrats, he believes, wants to put him in jail. So that is also another criteria he's been thinking about. So on the list right now of people who have been seriously considered to mention Mar-a-Lago, it is Marco Rubio, it is Kristi Noem, it is Elise Stefanik, it is Tim Scott, it is Marsha Blackburn, Katie Britt, and J.D. Vance. Those are the seven. The people I would put in the serious category are Elise Stefanik, Tim Scott, and J.D. Vance.
If you have to tell me right now of those options, the one that if you had to place your money on one just as in a betting sense, who would it be?
Yeah, J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance. I that makes sense to me based on, you know, we just had J.D. on radio, a couple of days ago. I can't remember now. And, you know, he's very aligned with Trump on things. He's the younger generation. I think he knows how to deal with Trump. I mean, the Elise Stefanik thing, I just look at this and I say, Elise Stefanik is like a left-wing Republican, if there is such a thing. She's pretty liberal.
Yeah, I mean, Elise Stefanik has had the biggest transformation of anybody in the House. She went from voting against the wall and voting against basically everything Trump said and trying to get an amnesty voted through to being Trump's biggest defender and a complete, you know, supporter. And she's gotten a lot of positive and well-deserved accolades for the Ivy League university. So she has done things in the last few years that have been very positive for herself, and she's a very ambitious woman. But Trump really likes J.D. Vance. They agree on a lot of issues, big issues like foreign policy that he probably doesn't agree with Tim Scott on, or possibly most of the people on the list. He really agrees with him on immigration, and he really agrees with him on trade and his general worldview. And Trump has a thing that he likes to say all the time. He says that people come out of central casting. It's one of his favorite slogans to say, oh, they're out of central casting. He thinks of J.D. as out of central casting for what a vice president would look like, and has commented on that a number of times. And oftentimes appearance matters a lot to Donald Trump.
I feel like then don't I look like a vice president? Like, why isn't he, you know, J.D. and I are pretty similar. You know, why aren't I in contention? It's a little sad.
You should be throwing your hat and making more trips to Mar-a-Lago. It's fine near you. But appearance matters a lot to him. And he thinks that J.D.'s tall and he's good looking. And as you know, it helps. He also doesn't help necessarily with Trump, but it does maybe help him nationally. He's got a biracial family. He's got biracial children. His wife is Indian. All those things could very much matter. And his life story, his backstory is extremely compelling. And when he's been in the Senate, he has been a real you know, big advocate against ending the Ukraine war and also providing relief on rail reform and doing bipartisan things on that. So, I mean, there's a case to be made of him as the series, as the top contender among the bunch.
That's pretty amazing, really. You know, you wouldn't have thought, especially because JD is also a reformed Trump supporter from the early days when he was a very vocal critic of Trump back in 2016. Well, I get the sense that Trump loves Trump converts more than anybody else, on the right at least. If you love Trump, if you go full Trump when you initially resisted, I think he's a big fan of those people.
Trump does not appreciate cheap dates. So if you are just, you know, I'm about to say something really crass, but I'm going to hold it back. If you are just trying to, you know, worship him every single second of every single day, he likes that. He likes that adulation, but he doesn't respect it. People in the media who praise him nonstop, he shits on them the minute the doors are shut. Like that is, he does not enjoy and doesn't respect people who he feels that he doesn't have to work for their love. Someone I know who was very high up in the last administration and got a lot of what they wanted in the last administration told me one time, you need to treat Trump like a very good looking girl in high school and just ignore him. And he will want your attention so badly, it will drive him crazy. And that worked for my friend who was in the administration, but it's worked for a lot of people. He really respects people that he has won over much more than people who have been eating out of his hands from day one.
Let's talk about the bill that the Senate tried to pass earlier this week. We'll get into that in a second here. Do you feel?
Wait, can I just add one thing to that before?
No,
we go
it's
into
my
this
show. Thing? You silly man. All right, you. All right. No, it's okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. Go ahead. No, go ahead. It's a podcast.
No, I don't want to. Yeah. No, I was just thinking because we were talking before the show about influencers, right? And this is why I think our influencer culture has become so immensely toxic, is because people will not tell the truth because they're afraid of losing access to people in power. They believe people in power will hold them future jobs. And because there is a business model right now, where if you can get 5,000 to 10,000 people to believe that you are the curator of the truth and honesty, you have to serve them like the purest heroin all the time without any facts related to it. Otherwise, somebody will. And I think that's why our influencer culture has become so incredibly toxic right now.
Well, yeah, no, there's a purity contest for all things MAGA, for sure. And there's also the weird correlation on the right for people now where if you don't believe every conspiracy theory, like I'm the first one to say, I think there's an Epstein conspiracy that goes way beyond what we've been told. Like I do. I'm not somebody who says there are no conspiracies or, you know, oh, it's all, you know, hocus pocus or hogwash or whatever. But we've reached a point, I think, on the right now where every conspiracy, you know, the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, there's some conspiracy to give Joe Biden the election. I'm like, when did people become so crazy? And if you don't believe this, you're like a uniparty stooge who might as well be at the World Economic Forum, you know, traveling right around with the Davos set, et cetera. It's just crazy to me.
Right. I mean, you need to serve your audience. And also there is a big thing. People think that influencers like to think that they're leading a crowd when in fact they're following. They have to follow their own crowd because if they turn against them, they lose everything. So you can never not change course. You have to go full steam ahead, hard as it can possibly be, to try and keep that audience and retain that audience. Because if you can get 10,000 people to give you $3 a month, $4,000 a month, you got a serious business going on. But you can't ever lose that. So you got to sit there and if it means saying that Travis Kelce is working with the CIA and everyone's in this game so they can promote Taylor Swift, like you got to say nutbag things constantly in order to, you know, keep that gravy train going. You can't let it go because that's all you got.
All right. Now, next, you're going to tell me about the Senate, why why they're doing this, why Ukraine funding matters so much to them. Also, I asked it on radio, just so you know. So can someone at some point just tell me, why are we sending Israel $17 billion? We'll get to that. You don't have to answer it, but I just, no one can say that I'm not very pro-Israel and that I'm, you know, a good friend to the Jewish state. I mean, I'm like, take these Hamas pieces of garbage and, you know, and take them off the battlefield. And but anyway, I do think, you know, oh, all of a sudden we're not allowed to talk about where money's going. Hold on. Do you feel prepared? Speaking about money, with everything going on in the country, you find yourself thinking about how to protect yourself and your family financially or otherwise. One form of financial protection is diversification. Gold has often been used to protect assets against inflation. It's a global reserve asset, and countries are buying massive amounts of gold as a hedge against financial collapse. Time to protect yourself and invest in gold. Stop just assuming things are going to get better. Look at inflation. Look at what's going on. Have some gold on hand. I'm not saying go crazy and, you know, pile everything into gold. Diversify with it. I have some gold. You should have some gold, some precious metals, and you can actually have it in your 401k as well. It's simple and easy with the Oxford Gold Group. Go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free, order the investment guide, or make a purchase of precious metals and earn up to $2,500 in free gold. That's oxfordgoldgroup.com/free, oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. Go check it out today. All right, so why were they burning the midnight oil, Republicans in the Senate? I think it was about a dozen of them who were all trying to make sure. Right, it was like 11, 12, something like that, wasn't it?
It was more than 12, but I forget the exact. I have to look it up. But it's more than 12. 26 voted against it.
Okay, so why are they so hell-bent on getting this supplement? Let's start with Ukraine and how there's this enormous disconnect. Because the Republican base, you bring up funding Ukraine, the open-ended war in Ukraine, and people start booing. And yet, Republican senators, a whole bunch of them, think that this is like World War II and we're fighting the Nazis by funding Ukraine. Although there's a whole...
Well, they believe we're fighting the Soviet Union by fighting Russia. And, you know, there's a lot of people on the national security right from Nikki Haley onwards and Mitch McConnell who believe that if we fight Russia, we fight China, which is completely incoherent and totally not true. But there is one of my many problems, and J.D. Vance, not to talk about him again, but he did reference this yesterday in the speech. Ukraine has a birth deficit. In order for a country to be at replacement levels, a woman needs to give an average of 2.1 children on average in mass per children per lifetime give birth to them. Ukraine has not had that level since the end of the Soviet Union. They've had almost 25 straight years of birth decline and population decline. There is every man between the ages of like 18 and 40 has either fled the country or is fighting and dying to do it. They are going to go through a catastrophic and almost modernly unseen demographic winter in the next 10 to 20 years because an entire generation of Ukrainians have died or fled from this war that Zelensky has tried to get ceasefires for repeatedly but continues to fight it in enriching him and his cronies from American money. I mean, they are talking about protecting Ukrainian borders at the expense of having Ukrainian people. There will not be a future Ukrainian people. It will be an empty wasteland because of the war that Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer are promoting endlessly. It is literally the death of a people we are witnessing. And they're probably going to lose, you know, their population will decline upwards of 10 million people within, which is about 20% of the population in a period of a few decades. It's going to be rapid and it's going to be very, very intense. And it's going to be a complete economic and social collapse in one country because of this war.
We sat with Stalin at Yalta, right? And divvied up the world at the end of the Second World War. Why not sit down and have a conversation with Putin about how to end this thing? It feels like, I know Tucker in his interview had Putin tell him directly, and everyone, oh my gosh, they were all, how could he talk to Putin? And, you know, all that. But Putin says that there was a plan on the table. We should know, was there a plan on the table? Because if there isn't, then Putin's just a huge liar, and why are we even talking about it? But if there is, that seems like a pretty big deal.
There was a plan on the table. Macron was really working very, very hard to get a ceasefire done over a year ago. And Zelensky was all for it before the American machine of money kept on going. They are in a rush to get this bill done because if they do not get it done, Ukraine is going to go to the table right now with a ceasefire. That is the only thing keeping this war going is endless not even American money. It's money we're borrowing from China to give to Ukraine. But that American paycheck is the only thing that is keeping this war moving at this point.
And so what,
otherwise it will end. Russia will annex the three provinces of eastern Ukraine that they want, and it will be over. But if it does not end, it will literally be like the loss of like 75 million Americans, all between the ages of like 18 and 40, mostly men. That is how catastrophic their population decline is going
to
happen.
What does Ukraine gain by continuing to fight if there's the possibility of do I think that it's crappy for Ukraine? And that's an understatement, that they'll lose territory and yes. But war is hell, and the world is a tough place, and sometimes you lose and you have to figure out a way to move forward, right? You know, look at Japan. Japan could have said, oh my God, you nuked us, and they started an aggressive war against us, but the point being, they decided to move forward. They're now one of our closest allies, actually, in the world, and, things change, right? So what do they get from continuing to fight if they can't win, I guess, is the fun. And they can't win, and they can't gain any ground. So it's just attrition.
Right. They haven't moved. I think I've moved a foot in like 6 months or 7 months. It's been a complete stalemate at the border. If you read the reports, there are hundreds of millions of dollars missing in these contracts we're sending over there. And they don't know who is getting all of this money. I mean, it's a life changing amount of money that I imagine Ukrainian oligarchs in close proximity to Zelensky are getting. Zelensky's getting the adulation of the entire world and the praise of the entire world. I'll tell you a story. I was in Washington, D.C. when the war started, and Zelensky addressed the joint session of Congress, and I was at a Republican meeting, a Republican congressman, and one congressman got up and goes, we need to get a bust of Zelensky in the Capitol Rotunda near Winston Churchill, because that's who he most resembled. A lot of congressmen are very much in a Cold War mindset still, and they don't realize the detrimental changes to the world over the last 30 years since the end of the Cold War, and how that will be a much larger impact than anything happening on the border of Ukraine and Russia right now.
I also keep hearing people will say out loud, I think Nikki Haley has said this, there are others who say, if we don't stop them in Ukraine, Poland is next. And I'm like, that is insane. Yeah. That is crazy talk, right? This is, it would be like, it would be like saying, if we don't stop the Houthis from fighting the government in Yemen, like, next stop is the United Kingdom. Like, no, I don't think they're going to be able to take them over. Like, that's not going to happen. There's just military.
But that has always been what they've been saying. I mean, I'm old enough now to remember the first early days of the war against terrorism. And if we don't fight them over there, they'll fight them over here. But Poland doesn't even believe that. No Western leader believes that Poland is next. Certainly Poland doesn't. I mean, a lot of countries like Finland are joining NATO now as a protection. But if they really believed that, the West, Western Europe was next from Russia's advancement, why aren't any of them spending money on military expenditures?
Yeah. Well, certainly you don't want to
completely annihilate the weapons you have. We have very few weapons left because of this war. Like, we are depleting our weapon supply over a proxy war with Russia in Ukraine. But also the Syrian war was a proxy war with Russia. We've had multiple proxy war with Russias where we're willing to expense other people's soldiers and other people's men to fight Russia. This is, I think, one of the first times that Russia is actually losing their own men in this war. But Russia is just taking men from the Caucasus, Muslims from the area near Georgia, and they're having them fight. I mean, it's not like it's all Russian. Russia's a very large nation. They're able to sit there and spend a lot more men than Ukraine is. It's almost got five times the population.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're going to give, what is it, $16 billion, $17 billion to Israel? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
They are our greatest ally.
That's it, huh? We're just sticking with that.
Basically, we're down to just talking points. You know, I think part there's good money spent on Israel, like on the Iron Dome is very effective money. I think that Republicans have not had an honest conversation about Israel and their military weapons we give them in a very long time. Listen, Israel is also the country that we caught them spying on the Trump White House, on the White House lawn during Trump's presidency. They are also the country that sold weapon plans to China from the United States, and China was able to use it to build new weapons. Israel's a very good ally, but they are not the 51st state of the United States.
Not even close. Nope.
Not even close. And it's a very dangerous thing to sit there and say that. You cannot say that because there are a lot of interests in Washington, and there are also a lot of very powerful evangelicals that believe that Israel, is the Holy Land and that the Messiah will come from there again. And between the two, it is a very powerful element within the Republican Party.
I mean, I got to say, like the note, you know, you get all these people that'll say on the right who will say, why are we giving all this money? And look, it's a lot more money in Ukraine. I get that. But Israel's a small country, $17 billion.
And they're a very wealthy country.
And it's a very wealthy country, right? They're not having some economic crisis where they can't pay their bills. I mean, Ukraine has no money, right? Ukraine is up against it.
Bro,
we're just giving Israel money to give, you know, it's like a kid who has a trust fund who's got somebody showing up and give him an extra $20 bill. Like, he doesn't need it probably wants it. But it just strikes me as you got to be consistent. Right. If you're worried about the debt, you should be worried about foreign aid spending across the board. And when you're getting into tens of billions or, you know, billions of dollars, period, I think we're allowed to ask those questions. And also, I love how they throw Taiwan in there, too. It's like at the end, just to make it seem like, oh, yeah, Taiwan. Sure. Anyway,
yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be a very big question when Taiwan's younger population is increasingly pro-CCP. And the West's population, look, England, the United States, and most of Europe is having a massive problem where white men are no longer joining the armed services, and it's specifically white men in all those countries. And what do you do when the people that you expect to fight wars because they have fought wars in the past are no longer willing to fight them? That is a serious question that the military minds, because in their heads, everyone is still like they were in 1950. They are not willing to accept that a large portion of the United States will not fight in wars anymore. And that, you know, there's probably maybe 15% of France and 10% of England that are of non-European background, and they are not going to be signing up for any military expenditures into the lands of their parents. And they have no allegiance whatsoever to Israel. If Joe Biden, I'm sorry to cut you off, I know I've been rambling, but if Joe Biden loses this election because Muslims specifically have sat out of places like Michigan and Georgia, we are never going to have a pro-Israel Democratic presidential candidate probably the rest of our lives, ever.
Well, I think it's interesting that people, like I can sit here and say that for many years I've been a staunch defender of Israel's right to defend itself and always have been and totally side with Israel against Hamas. And my record on this is not only clear, it's consistent and for a long time, but I'm not sure we should be paying for it. I mean, you know, that like, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I'm rooting for them. I'm on the team. I want, you know, good diplomatic relations and all that, but I don't know that the U.S. taxpayer should be funding that. Anyway, but it's interesting. People get very brave about talking about, we need to cut aid to Ukraine. I'm like, well, what about that Israel aid? All of a sudden people on the right, oh, I can't talk about that. Why? Doesn't make you anti-Israeli.
Well, you have them on your show, so you maybe can get better answers. I'm being extremely honest with you because I don't care, whatever. No one's paying my bills besides me. But that is an honest conversation that they will never have about Israel, and it is everyone's like walking on eggshells.
Well, it's also, we give Israel $3 billion a year. I mean, that's just kind of on autopilot. Right. Every year, $3 billion a year, $3 billion a year. Why? Why are we doing that?
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, we give it in like, there are certain, like I said, there are certain money that is very good, like their
Iron Dome?
Iron Dome is very effective because they can't sell the weapons to China, but, you know, and it saves a lot of people's lives. And, you know, that's okay. There's at least good money going there. But there is a big question over, you know, if the CBO says that it's a commercial budget office estimates that it's going to be $2.6 trillion deficit by 2034. Is a very, very, very big question is how do you keep this gravy train going, especially if you're quote unquote serious about the debt.
Israel has like a $550 billion a year economy. Like they can pay for their own defense. This is what the part of it that, you know, if Israel had a $10 billion a year economy and we, you know, okay, I guess they're our allies, we got to help them out. Anyway, it just strikes me as, yeah, anyway, we all know you can be as pro-Israeli as one can be in terms of support, in terms of everything else. But, you know, I'm very pro, you know, United. Look, we talk about NATO and how NATO needs to spend. You know, I think a lot of those European countries are great. Big fans of those countries. Lovely people. I don't think we should be paying for all their defense either. I just think this is a more general foreign aid discussion. But if it's a foreign aid discussion, it has to be across the board. All right. I got to talk about something else for a second here, because I bought a home last year. And when I did, guess who I went to? American Financing. That's who I relied on for getting a mortgage. And they're the best in the business. They've been helping people save money for 25 years. In fact, last year, American Financing saved an average of $854 a month for folks who used them because they were able to tap into their equity to pay off high interest debt. And with mortgage rates dropping into the fives, now's a great time to call American Financing. All it takes is a 10-minute call to 866-890-9392. They never charge any upfront fees, and they've helped thousands of customers, including me. I got my mortgage from American Financing. Call them today. It's who I trust. It's who you should trust. 866-890-9392. 866-890-9392. Or go to AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.406% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-890-9392 for details about credit costs and terms. All right, Ryan, for the people in the back, one more time, I'm going to hand this over to you. It's our last thing we'll talk about today. We'll have you back again soon. It's always fun.
Our favorite topic.
Can they just stop with the Joe Biden is going to be replaced with Michelle Obama? I just want to let you go off on that for a second while I fix my lighting in here.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yes, Michelle Obama will not be on the presidential ticket in 2024. Very likely will never be on the presidential ticket, although maybe she could change her mind. But she will not be on the presidential ticket in 2024. Anyone telling you that is like a drug dealer trying to sell you fentanyl to get high off of. It is not true. It is a complete lie. They are lying to you either they are openly lying because they are liars, or they just don't know any better. And they just heard enough conspiracies and they think that's what people want them to hear. Unless he passes away or is seriously, seriously injured to the point that he cannot walk or something, Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee in 2024 with Kamala Harris as the vice presidential nominee. And I know you may sit there and say, but Ryan, but Buck, He's an incompetent buffoon who looks like he has dementia and is talking and mumbling about cookies on TikTok videos. That is 100% true. He is a rapidly incoherent, mentally depraved person whose brain ability to cognitively function is declining substantially and will continue to if he has a second term. That doesn't matter to them because the people who sit there and prop him up and support him think that our party or Republican Party is supporting a rapist who wants to end democracy and have his roaming gang of white supremacists terrorize women to force into pregnancy, rip, you know, every person who's not white out of the country and start World War III. There is a population and a significant population that genuinely believe that. They genuinely believe there's a significant portion of the population that genuinely believes that Mississippi is worse for gay people than the Gaza Strip. Like, there is a group of people that do 100% believe this. And they also think Joe Biden's wonderful. They think that he's great. They think he's done a very, very, very good job as president. And now it is just a question of who do people in the middle, who do soft Democrats and soft Republicans and independents in the middle, who are they going to go support? Because there is no changing the mindset of the people that are currently voting the Democratic primary. Biden won 96% in South Carolina. He'll probably win over 90% in Michigan. They do not care what the DOJ says. They do not care about whatever the guy's name is, Bobulinski or whatever his name is, the business partner of Hunter Biden. Bobulinski, whatever his name is. They don't care. They think that he's great. Just like at Trump's worst moment, you probably or someone you know probably thought, screw it, Trump's my guy. That's where they're at. He'll be the nominee. It's crazy Uncle Joe all the way to 2024.
I'm with you on this, as you know, and it's you and me. And on the right in media, it's like nobody else right now. Everybody else is doing this whole, oh, it's going to be, I've had Tucker say it. I think he even said it on my show.
Tucker said it too.
Oh yeah, Bill O'Reilly has said it many times. Bill O'Reilly came on and told me I was wrong on this issue. That was like last July. And I was like, Bill, you're going to be buying me a steak, buddy. Clay, obviously. Oh yeah, yeah. Clay obviously is deep in the. It's going to be a third person replacement, and I don't know what to, you know. I just keep trying to tell everybody. I'm like, I'm just going to remember all this because it's a crazy idea, and they think I'm the crazy one. And you're the crazy one for this. But anyway, Ryan Gradusky, subscribe to his National Populist newsletter. It is quite good. And if you use it on your huge radio show, be sure to give him credit for it, because that's how we roll. Thank you very much, Ryan. Good to see you. Thanks for hanging. Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.